Jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. I'm gonna give you a couple minutes here to text somebody, to email somebody, to Facebook somebody. You're not gonna want to miss today's show. We have Usama Dakdok with us. So what? That sounds like a disease. Usama Dakdok. Yeah. He's going to explain to us what's really going on with Islam, the religion of peace, and why that matters and why our eyes need to be open. And it's great to have him on. He's more than an expert in Islam. He's a friend of mine. By the way, Gary will hit me over the head if I don't talk a little bit more about this, about our Occupy Till I Come event in Akron, Ohio, which Usama is going to be one of the speakers at. That's one of the reasons that we have him on here this morning, a little bit to wet your whistle about what you're going to see. Jared, I don't know, didn't give you much of a head start, but can you throw that Occupy page up there real quick? Usama's going to, we've limited down our speakers this year. We're only going to have about five or six, and we're going to give them a little bit more time because there's so much each one of these guys have to say. And sometimes I feel that we get a lot of people at these conferences and they're good. And we try to bring as much of a variety as we can, but we lose out on fellowship time. We lose out on so many other different issues so that we've really, really kind of tightened things down. And Usama is going to be one of our speakers, and it's April 3, 4, and 5 in Canton, Ohio. Prices, room rates, everything are on there. If you get in there now, if you send us, I got to get this going, Gary. I'm sorry. If you become a $10 a month donor to Adhere at Coach Dave Live, $10 a month, you get a great discount at our event in Occupy on that Friday, April 3rd. Yeah, April 3rd and 4th. So there's our list of speakers. Usama is going to be one of them. It's just if you're a Coach Dave Live team member, $10 a month, your fee is only $59. $79 at the door, $59, yada, yada, all there, all good. Great fellowship. It's going to be a wonderful event. So please, let's get registering on that. Hey, Jared, go back up there a little bit so you can see who right now the confirmed speakers are. Bill Federer, y'all know who Bill Federer is. These are big name folks. Bill Federer, Dr. Michael Lake, Dr. Mike Spalding, L.A. Marzulli, Russ Dizdar, and Usama Dakdok. All right, listen. Whenever you do one of these things, you run the risk of making people mad because, I got to speak last year. Why did I do something wrong? Am I not invited? Come on, man. Come on. It's different variety every year trying to bring more information, new information. We try not to bring speakers who are doing the same topic, right? We don't need double topics. We're going to work some other things in and some workshops and some of that stuff. But right there are the speakers who are going to be here. And Usama Dakdok is going to be one of them. I got to know Usama. It's an amazing experience for me. I heard about this guy. This goes back five years ago, maybe longer than that. I heard about this guy who was in town who was speaking about Islam. Of course, this is when, do you remember when we used to worry about Islam? Hey, Larry, do you remember that? When people used to worry about Islam? Don't hear so much about it anymore now. Islam, terrorism, kind of a thing of the past. You don't hear much about it anymore. And I heard this guy, Usama, whatever his name was, and he did a tour here in Ohio, and he was speaking in Mansfield, Ohio. So I jumped in my car, and I drove up to Mansfield, Ohio to hear what he was going to say. And I'd never met him. I'd never heard him. And he's at the front of the room, and as he's making his presentation about the truth about Islam, in the back of the room come in some of these Muslim guys from the mosque in Mansfield or in that area, and they all came in there, and they're big guys, and they folded their arms, and they stood in the back of the room, and I thought, oh my goodness, They got any knives on them? What's going to go on here? Is this thing going to go down? And man, I saw Usama go right at them about the lies of Islam, about Muhammad was a devil. And it was unbelievable. And afterwards, I said, I got to know this guy. And so Usama and I have had a friendship, partnership, ministry, working together for quite a while. Now, I want you to listen carefully and slowly, because Usama speaks with an accent. Right?
Oh, his English is really good. I've been taking medicine now for all these years. I'm getting bitter and bitter.
You are getting bitter and bitter, Coach David. And listen, not Tennessean you're going to hear. It ain't Kentuckian you're going to hear. It ain't.
I can learn you English, Coach. I can learn you English. See how good my English now is?
Usama has his own version of English. So listen to him closely. Usama Dakdok, the straight way. Is that what it is? TheStraightWay.com. TheStraightWay.com.
.org.
Thanks, brother. Straight Way of Grace. TheStraightWay.org. Folks, buckle in, because Usama is me with no hair and experience with the Muslims. God bless you, Usama. Come on in, brother. What's on your mind? What's on your heart today?
First of all, good morning, Coach Dave, and good morning, everybody who are watching us or those who will be watching us in the future. It is my joy to be with you this morning. And I saw it's going to be an hour from now, or I'll be in a much better shape. Coach Dave did not tell me it's 7 o'clock Central or 7 o'clock Eastern, but that's okay.
I forgive you, brother. I told you, you can't read emails. I told you.
Hey, the one who taught me English did not teach me how to read. I only can speak English.
All right. That's good, man. That's good. But
it's good to be with you. So I'm ready. Whatever you have in mind, bring it on, brother.
Tell us what's going on. Hey, Usama, is this a religion of peace? And by the way, as I just said, you don't hear much about Islam right now. We're worried about impeachments, global warming, and all of a sudden, Islam's gone kind of silent here in the golden U.S. What's going on? Hey, Usama, have those Muslims of the religion of peace, have they converted and become friendly?
Here's the fact. The work of the devil is always a work of deception. Allah is known, as he declared himself throughout the pages of the Quran, that he is the best deceiver. So we now know for sure, as first step, for example, Allah said, they deceive, but Allah deceive, and Allah is the best deceiver. So if Allah is the best deceiver, that automatically ends the argument that we worship the same God. Allah is Satan. That's a fact number one. We never heard anything about Islam before September 11th. And now we know, we no longer, as you just said a couple of times this morning, we no longer hear about Islam, because we never have another attack in the last couple of 3 years or so since Mr. Trump came to power. But Islam is not a religion. Islam is a savage cult. And the best proof of that, just read the book. What book? The Quran. Allah is Satan. And that Allah has no son. And all those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God are a bunch of infidels. As Allah himself stated in the Quran, infidel indeed are those who said, surely Allah is the Christ, Son of Mary. So if there is anyone out there right now who listen to us or listen to us later, believe that Christian worship Jesus Christ as God Almighty who came in the flesh, you automatically an infidel. The following verse is even more powerful. That is 573, where Allah said, infidel indeed are those who said that Allah is a third of three. So if you believe in Trinity, a good Catholic, a good Baptist, a good Presbyterian, a good Lutheran, if you believe in Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you automatically an infidel. And the beauty of Islam is this. Allah in Quran 47 and verse 4 said, when ye meet those who became infidels, strike their necks until you have made a great slaughter. So that savage cult teach the Muslim believers to behead the Christians simply because they believe in Jesus Christ. If you call Islam a religion, that means you're ignorant of what you're talking about.
Stop it a minute, Usama. George W. Bush told us it was a religion of peace. From the moment the powers fell, he told us it was a religion of peace.
Brother, for seven years, I spoke against Mr. George W. Bush and his lies about Islam. That was 4 days after September 11 in Islamic Center in Washington, D.C. He stood in front of the camera and he read four pages written by some Muslim guy or written by some wacko political corrector. And I understand George was in a bad situation because he does not want to have the American people to rise up and everyone kill a Muslim. So we'll kill 4 or 5 million Muslims in America and then we have a World War III. Because American people were angry. He need to cool them down. So he lied to the American people. And what's so amazing is this. If you look at the six guys and the lady stand behind Mr. Bush in that Islamic center, these are the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood. Nahed Awad, the head of care, was just on his right, left side corner, just here behind him. He said, I have the video. We can share it with you. But Mr. Bush lied to the American people. And because of his lies, he literally hurt America more than those who attacked us on September 11. And let me explain this to you. When Mr. George W. Bush said that Islam is a religion of peace, a religion of law, and he went in war, and he invented the two other words, which is radical Islam or extreme Muslims, these are invention of George W. Bush. The word radical Islam never exists in the Quran. So he went to war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I was against that war, and we have the videos to prove that I spoke against him. I said, we should never go to war in Iraq and Afghanistan because you cannot handle the truth. It's the same repeated problem we have with Thomas Jefferson years ago when he went to war against Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, and Libya, these four countries. He went to war with them. That's where we come up with our song, To the Shore of Tripoli. And he opened this can of worms. And surprise, surprise, there's another 53 more countries like these four. We went to war for 4 years, 210 years ago. And we spent lots of money in that war because we thought we can get rid of Islam. But he could not. And he ended closing the can of worms again and still continue to give the jizya, which we call it in America, we call it the foreign aid. Until today, for 200 plus years, American presidents, one after one, are giving money to the Muslims. Why? Because they're our ally. Our ally, my friends. Muslims are not our friends, and they will never be our friends. Because Usama Dahnuk said so. No, because Allah in the Quran, 551, Allah said, O you have believed, do not take the Jews and Christians for friends. They are friends to one another. So the command of Allah is to engage in war with the Jews and the Christians. Quran 9:29. Never take them for a friend. They can take us for a friend only when they are not strong. It is practiced in Taqiyya, Quran 3:28.
Okay, let's stop there a little bit. First of all, you grew up in a Muslim country, so you understand them a little bit better. But Usama,
I grew up in Egypt. Yes, sir.
Take a couple minutes here and explain to everyone who Muhammad was. Well, we don't really understand that, right?
In my second two-volume books, Exposing the Truth about the Quran, the Revelation of Allah, last chapter was chapter 40. In that chapter, we summarize a good over 1,000 pages of the biography of Muhammad. We summarize it in only 67 pages. If you will take a good 3 hours, 2 hours or so, and read these few pages, surprise, surprise, you learn a lot about Muhammad. There's so much mystery about Muhammad to the point I have no idea that people can even believe in Muhammad to be a prophet or he truly exists. He was born 3 years after his father died. He grew up with his mama until the age of five, and then she died, and then he became the grandson of his grandpa and lived with his grandpa, and then he was working for his wife as a salesman, and he was nice guy. He did not steal her. He was very faithful to her. She proposed to him. She married her. At the age of 40, he went inside a cave to pray, and inside the cave, he had this great experience of somebody hugging him so tight from behind him, and he told him, read, iqra. He said, I'm not reading. He said, read, I'm not reading. And then he ran from that cave all the way to his wife, saying, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me, cover me. His wife assured him that he is not going crazy. He's not a demon possessed, as he continued to believe in that to the rest of his life. And then he started receiving these revelations, which is the verses of the Quran. The first 10 years were Makki verses, that is soft verses. These are the verses which Muslims love to read in America. Many of the stories of the Bible in a very corrupt form, and you can read more about that from my new book, The Revelation of Error. That's why we got 40 chapters there. Now, you move on to the Medini verses, that is after Muhammad and his 25, 30, 40, 50 followers, immigrate to the city of Medina, which is 210 miles north of Mecca. In Medina, Muhammad continued to write the verses of the Quran, and he became a savage man. Literally, a savage man. That's when you read 79 times in the Quran, engage in war. Allah is asking Muhammad and his followers to engage in war. With who? Jews and Christians, idol worshippers, everybody who live around them. That's when you read the word jihad, jahidu, 26 times. That's when you read about crucifixion, crucified them, cut their hand and legs from opposite side, and all the commands of Sharia, which exists throughout the Quran and the saying of Muhammad. 1 year before he died, he came back to Mecca. He killed all the Jews, all the Christians, all idol worshippers. He destroyed 360 some gods that used to exist in the black building, the Kaaba, and Islam took over the Saudi Arabia and moved from Saudi Arabia within 100 years to take over all the Middle East, all the northern country of Africa. They crossed to Spain. They took over Turkey. They're about to take over Europe. Thank God for the Crusaders who came to the picture 470 some years later, and they stopped the invasion of Muslims to Europe. If it was
they tell us that it is a religion of peace, and by the way, it is such a religion of peace that everyone is supposed to follow the Quran. However, Usama, Islam has a couple books, don't they? They have the Quran, and they have the Haditha. Is that right? Explain to us.
Brother David, the Hadith is a collection of the saying of Muhammad. And there are millions and millions of the saying of Muhammad. Now, Muslims will tell you so many of these Hadiths Muhammad did not say, which is true. How can Muhammad spoke more than the Quran 10 times, 20 times, 30 times in just these 13 years claiming, in these 23 years claiming to be a prophet? So what the Bukhari did, or Muslim did, there are two Muslim scholars, they went through all these millions of saying, and they gave us only 2%, 2+% of what Muslim said, Muhammad said. And now these are 6 volumes, for example, in Bukhari, which they call the correct saying of Muhammad. This correct saying of Muhammad is full of savage teaching, ungodly teaching, and God help us. And even when we quote the correct saying of Muhammad, 100% equal, we Muslim scholars know that he said it, Muslims still rejected it. For example.
Okay, Muhammad, listen. This is my show, not yours. Just kidding. Just kidding. So I've done a lot of writing. You've done a lot of writing. So it would be like somebody coming along and all the commentaries that I've written, they just kind of handpick and they pull certain ones out of it. And then they put them all together and say, these are the words of Muhammad. That's what the Hadith is. Is that right?
Yes, indeed. But even in when you collect some of these to make him look good, you still make him look bad. Think with me. In the Hadith, Aisha said, Muhammad married me when I was 6 years old, had sex with me when I was 9 years old, and he died when I was 18. Muhammad died at the age of 64. That make Muhammad 51 years old when he married her. 51 years old, married to a 6 years old child. That's not a very nice picture there.
51 year old man, Muhammad, married a 6 year old little girl.
Sadly, that is the pedophilia in its holy books. I mean, okay. Literally, that is how Muhammadans, the Muslim believers today, still practice the Sunnah of Muhammad, but they will not have sex with their wives until they turn between 8 and 9, according to Sharia, the reliance of the traveler, which we have here in America.
Okay, Usama, I'm trying to cover a lot of territory here, all right? So sure. People would say Islam is a religion of peace, but Usama would say that it's more than just a religion.
Well, the religion in Islam is more, the politics in Islam is more than 80% of Islam, and the religion is less than 20%. So religion is a lie. First of all, it's a savage cult. It's not a religion, it's a cult. Number two, it is political, spiritual movement, political
it's
religion.
It's a governmental system, right, Usama?
Sure.
It's a governmental system.
And you cannot separate the politics from the religion of Islam. They're mixed together like water, H2O. If you separate the hydrogen from the oxygen, you lose the water, and that is exactly the case of Islam.
So when they tell us when a Muslim tells us, Usama, that they don't really want Sharia law, they want to come to America, and they just want to live in peace and practice their own religion, that's not true.
Well, let me give it to you from the head of care in Dallas, Texas. He said, if we are practicing Muslims, we are above, listen carefully, we are above the Constitution of the United States of America. Muslims live by Sharia. We got videos to prove to our wonderful audience that Muslims all over America prefer Sharia over Islamic law. And now we know for sure that Muslims, not only Muslims practice Sharia in America, but we support Sharia financially. We, the Americans, giving millions of dollars to Imam or Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi. A man could not come to America physically. He's collecting millions of dollars from the Americans through Sharia finance. The church in America supports Muslim Brotherhood through their giving as we put our money in our banks and the banks practice Sharia finance. So we're giving 2.5% interest to the Muslim.
Stop it, Usama. Stop it. So Usama, would it be safe to say, I believe it would be safe to say, that Muslims, true Muslims, or really all Muslims, they actually believe what Christians believe in, that their God is above the government. They serve their God first, and government flows out of their religion. So if Islam takes over in Dearborn, Michigan, the Muslims are going to say the Constitution does not apply here because we are under Sharia law.
We got enough evidence from the Muslims' handwriting to say exactly what you said word for word.
Man, oh man. Somebody come in. I know some of you have I got a million things to ask you. A long way to go, short time to get there, Usama. But I have a very active audience who want to ask you some questions. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jeffrey.
Hey, Coach, I'd like to make a statement. I listened to people who study the Muslim faith, Islam. And the main point that really stunned me was Islam is what Muhammad's tactic is, to come to look like peace, then come into defense, and then onto offense.
Explain that to us, Usama, how they come in, they just want to be accepted, just be part of it, and how as their influence grows, what happens in that community?
When Muslims are new in any country, when they do not have the upper hand, when they're not strong, they practice Quran chapter 47 and verse 35, where in it Allah said, do not be weak and do not call for peace when you have the upper hand. As long as Muslims are small, tiny, tiny minority, I'm not even talking about 2% or 1%. I'm talking about small, tiny minority. Few people in the country, and nobody even knows that they're there. They are very peaceful. But the moment they become 1%, they will ask for their right. 2%, they will force their right on themselves in their own community. 3%, 4%, they force their belief, their Sharia, on everybody in that country. It happened all over Europe, and it's coming to a city near you.
Okay, folks, let me paint a picture for you so that you understand. You say, well, Coach, there's a difference between radical Islam, just like people would say in Christianity, that Coach Dave, he's a radical Christian. Most Christians aren't like Coach Dave. But when they get in place and they get established, Usama, it is the Coach Daves of Islam that seize control.
Exactly.
And to everybody else, these are the rules, and we're all going to follow these rules.
And here is the proof, Brother Dave. Muslims are two. These are the hypocrites, and those are the Muslim believers. I hear it all the time on Fox News, and everybody else is saying, where are the moderate Muslims? Why are they not speaking against the radicals? No, there is no moderate Muslims, because moderate Muslims in Islam are a bunch of hypocrites. And Allah said, and he might know the hypocrites when it was said to them, come engage in war for the sake of Allah or contribute. They say, we believe, but we're not going to do these things. No, he said, if you're not going to fight, you're not Muslim. You are more of an infidel than a Muslim. So in reality, and Quran, that's Quran 3:167. In Quran 9:73, Allah ordered Muhammad and the Muslim believer to engage in war, O you prophet, perform jihad against the infidels and the hypocrites. So Muslim, who call themselves peaceful, they're a bunch of hypocrites, and Allah gives the Muslims the right to behead them as much as they behead the infidels. That's why you will never hear anyone say, oh, we are anti, but we're anti the radicals. But only in America, Muslim Brotherhood, like CARE and ISNA and others, you will see them speaking against the Muslim believers. Why? Because they are them. and they are playing that game to deceive the American people, makes them believe that there is good Muslims. This Muslim man you see on Fox News or CNN with a suit and a tie who speak against the radical, he himself is a Muslim Brotherhood. They are the radicals themselves to deceive us in America.
Hey, Osama, could you please, I heard you use the word taqiyya earlier.
Yeah.
Could you please explain in simple words what taqiyya is?
Well, taqiyya is to protect. The word taqiyya, to guard yourself. Quran chapter 3, verse 28, very powerful verse, when Allah said, do not, to the believers, do not take infidels for friends rather than believers. And whoever does this, so he has nothing to do with Allah. Listen carefully. Except, here's the exception, that you should guard yourself from them cautiously. So if a Muslim in a country like Muslim in America, they're weak, they do not have the upper hand, the only way they can survive in America is to protect themselves by taking us as friends. Now, if you listen to the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Jalalayn to that verse, he will tell you that believers take infidels as friends with their tongue, but not with their hearts. And this can be directed only to those who live in a country and they're not strong in it. So Muslims in America are wonderful because they are deceiving us.
They're allowed to lie. Taqiyya means they are allowed to lie. So they will take Americans as friends with the tongue, but not with the heart, huh?
Exactly. That's exactly the practice of Islam. And in Islam, lies is one of the foundation which Allah gave to the Muslim. Muhammad taught his Muslim believers it is lawful to lie only in three cases. Ready? To your wives, that they will be pleased with you. To your enemy at the time of war, or to make peace between believers. So Muslims can only lie to their wife and to their enemy and to their friends. But besides that, they do not lie.
They're going to tell us the truth. And Osama, one of the things that I learned from you years ago that really, really amazed me. Most Muslims have never read the Quran.
It's a fact. 87% or so of the Muslims do not speak Arabic. Muslims do not allow other countries to translate the Quran to any languages. And even when we translate the Quran, they will tell you translation is not Quran because now it is the word of man. So, and I guarantee you more than 70-80% of the Arabs who are only 13%, 70% of them never read the Quran like most Americans do not read the Bible. So I guess maybe 2-3% of the Muslim people in planet Earth have read the Quran, understood the Quran, and these are plenty enough to destroy the world. And
as mean as this might sound, many of those in the Islamic world are illiterate. They cannot read. Isn't that true?
Well, they cannot read the Arabic language. They may be doctors or lawyers.
That's what I meant. They cannot read the language in which the Quran is written. And if you take the Quran and you translate it into a new language, then it's no longer the Holy Quran, right?
Sure. Well, that's what Muslims believe.
What's the Quran that you've interpreted, that you've written, Osama, that others might want to buy it and be able to understand the Quran for themselves better?
If people go to our website, they will simply see that we got the Generous Quran, which is the accurate name. It's a little bit orange color. The Generous Quran, not the Holy Quran. It's not holy. It was never called holy. Here we can see a copy. It is available as an e-book as well. You're going to see two volume books. They expose the truth about the Quran, the revelation of error. We just published a brand new book last year, which is called The Jihad, the exposing the jihad on the Quran. And then we have two small booklets, Brother Dave, we just published one last week. One is green. It's called The Straight Way to Eternal Life. It's The Straight Way to Eternal Life. And it's a very important tool we can give to our dear Muslim friends. And there's another one. It's called The Violence of Islam, which is only 24 pages, and they are powerful books. We got a bunch of DVDs as well for people who do not like to read, to watch. But I encourage people to get the small two booklets, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. It's very important as a tool to minister to the Muslim, to give them, to share the gospel with them. And it's written very uniquely to cover three important areas. First, that the Bible is perfect, never been corrupted, never been changed. Second, that the Quran is not the word of God. Third, which is very important, the message of Christianity, the gospel message written specifically for Muslims. Now, for the violent books, the violence of Islam, it is loaded with verses from the Quran, which teach nothing but hate towards Jews and Christians and anyone who does not believe in Islam. The saying of Muhammad as well is written throughout that book in the backside. So these two booklets, and we made them, Brother Dave, for the cost. So people can get three booklets for $5, seven for $10, and after that, 20 or more, just $1 a piece. And we will pay the shipping for these booklets. So very, very reasonable, just the cost. And I want everybody to have these two booklets in their hand. One, to show Islam is not a loving, peaceful religion. Second, here is the cruise of the gospel for those who would like to get saved.
Okay, Osama, listeners, viewers, whatever. Osama is going to be at Rob Pugh's Wisconsin Christian News event in, I don't have the date in front of me, March. If you're close to that area, get up there and hear. He has so many materials, folks, and he is so dynamic in person. He talks too fast because he doesn't speak. Yeah, he does. He speaks great English. He can come so fast and say, oh, my goodness, slow down because there's so much information in him. March 13th and 14th, I think it is. Isn't it, Rob? He's going to be at the Wisconsin Christian News event, and then he's going to be at Occupy. Our Occupy event on, boy, I got a brain, April 3, 4, and 5 in Canton, Ohio. Love for you to come and be part of it and educate ourselves on exactly what's going on. All right, Osama, you sitting down? I'm going to let some others get in here. Hey, Osama, look me in the eye here, brother. Look me in eye right now.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Osama, was Barack Obama a Muslim?
100%, because Muslim are Muslim for two reasons. Number one, if they are born from a Muslim daddy, and that is 100% the case of Obama, as he wrote in his books, Dreams of My Father, he said, as I sat between the two tombs of my father and my grandfather, and he mentions that they were both Muslims. Number two, you be a Muslim by saying the Shahada, that is to say in the Arabic language, one time I bear witness that there is no God except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is a messenger of Allah, and that is what Barry Sotaro, that is his other name, which he denied in his certificate as a senator. They were asking, do you have any other names? And if they are, mentions him. He checks the box, no other names, and he was lying. That is a no-no in our politics, because you can commit crimes under some other name. And the reason he did that, because he does not want the American people to know about his stepdad, the Muslim dad in Indonesia, as he lived in Indonesia for 4 years until the age of 10 when he moved to grandpa and grandma's house. And in these 4 years, he says the Shahada, there is no God except Allah, and Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. I go 200,000 times. They say it in our Muslim schools every day, many times. He prayed as a Muslim. He lived as a Muslim. He said the Shahada as a Muslim. So obviously one time is enough to make him a Muslim. He said it a few thousand times. So we know for sure he's a Muslim. And look what he have done in his life. He literally did enough damage in America with help to help the Muslims. Yeah.
Do you think the average Muslim in America, when they look at Obama, do they know he's Muslim?
Absolutely. Well, listen to his speech in Cairo, and when he met with the Muslim Brotherhood, he praised Allah, he praised the Quran five times. He quoted the Quran with deception, because what he was quoting is also verses picked up on purpose, twisted, a couple of them to make them say almost the opposite of what they said. And one, take half of the verse and quote it, and the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt clapped hand for him. And he helped the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt with Muhammad Morsi, the leadership of Muhammad Morsi, to take over my country. He literally tried to destroy Egypt as he destroyed Libya. And he did this as a favorite for the Muslim jihadi. He helped Iran with $152 billion while they're shouting, that's to America. He was handing them an airplane loaded with money. I mean, this is sick.
It is unbelievable, isn't it? I got a lot more questions, but I'm going to shut up. Somebody else, come on in.
Dave, I would like to ask your guest, the Quran, what I understand, it says Jesus is mentioned in the Quran more than Muhammad is.
Yeah.
But who is that Jesus?
Very good question, brother. I'm glad you asked that question, because Jesus was never mentioned in the Quran once. We hear about another guy by the name Isa, son of Mary. The name Jesus in the Arabic language is Yeshua, which is the Hebrew Yeshua, which means Savior. Well, Muhammad created a brand new character by the name Isa, son of Mary, not Jesus, son of God. And that Isa, in simple words, for the sake of time, he is not the son of God. He never died on the cross. He never rose from the dead. He was born under a palm tree, and immediately after birth, he spoke. And he spoke until in the old age. That is the son of Mary, has nothing to do with our Jesus. If Jesus is not God Almighty who came in the flesh, and if Jesus did not die on the cross and rose from the dead after being buried for 3 days, that Jesus is not our Jesus. And that book he's talking about, the gospel book, should go to a trash can. We don't believe in the Jesus of Muhammad.
So they teach that Jesus was, well, the Quran says that Allah had no children. Isn't that right?
Allah had no son, 100%. Allah has no son. There's no way. As I said earlier, to believe that Jesus, son of God, that make you an infidel. Therefore, you cannot tell me that the God of the Quran is our God.
So, Osama, when they tell us that Muslims respect Jesus, that they honor Jesus.
Then simply, when they say to you, we respect Jesus, ask, is Jesus the son of God? No. Did Jesus die on the cross? No. Did Jesus rose from the dead? No. Then you don't believe in my Jesus. End of story. That's different. You respect the Jesus of Muhammad, not the Jesus of the Quran.
Amen. Different Jesus.
The Jesus of the Bible.
Hey, somebody else. Usama, this is, I'm in Oklahoma here. Hey, in Deuteronomy 18, when Moses he prophesies of the prophet, capital P, the prophet will come. Is that who the Muslims believe it Muhammad is?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what Muslims believe. And they say that Isa, son of Mary, came with the good news and told him, as Muhammad, as Allah said in the Quran, what is the good news? So the good news is that after him, a prophet by the name Muhammad will come, or Ahmed, the other name Muslims choose from Muhammad. Well, I'm sorry, that Muhammad is anything but a prophet. He was a child molester, a sex offender, a prophet pretender, a womanizer, an adulterer, a thief, a thug, a terrorist. Muhammad is not a prophet by any means of the word prophet. He's not even a decent man. I am much holier than Muhammad can ever be, and I am a sinful man who needed the love of Jesus and the blood of Jesus to receive forgiveness for all my sins.
Amen. Amen. What about not only George Bush, but we've heard other religious leaders say, wait a minute here, Ishmael, Isaac, they come out of the same daddy. We have the same root. We have the same beliefs here.
You're opening another subject, very important, Brother Dave, because in reality, we know for sure that Ishmael is the father of the Ishmaelites. You can go to Genesis chapter 25 and read the 12 sons of Ishmael. And where did he live? He lived between Havilah, which is in front of Egypt, all the way until the Assyria. Now, Arab came from Abraham, but not through Ishmael. The descendants of Ishmael are known Ishmaelites. Arab came from Keturah. Genesis 25, verse 1, the Bible said, after the death of Sarah, Abraham took another wife by the name Keturah. And then he mentioned until verse 6, the children and the grandchildren of Keturah. And the Bible ends in verse 6 by saying, they live in the countries of the east, or in the land of the country of the east. So the Arabs are the descendants of Keturah, not the descendants of Ishmael. As we have enough evidence from these six verses, that's a long subject, that will take a long time, to prove to our dear wonderful audience that the Arabs are the descendants of Keturah who live in these countries, the land of Saudi Arabia, not the Ishmaelites. And the blessing did not come through the descendants of Abraham, but through one seed. And that seed was given through, the prophecy was given to Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, and it is from the tribe of Judah. It is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not seeds, but one seed. Not two seeds. Not Jesus and Muhammad. No, one seed. Christ alone.
Amen. Somebody, come on in.
All right, one more. And they say, I think the term jihad is overused. That's not the correct term. What's the term where they come in, they have no mercy, and it's just all out camp war on you or whatever. It's not. Well, but it's not jihad. What is that other term?
But what is the difference? What is the difference between jihad?
What happened is the word in the Arabic language is jahidu. Jahidu, I translated in my Quran, perform jihad. And by the way, that is the only accurate translation for the Quran. My translation. It's not sugar-coated. It will never be approved by the other university because I'm exposing the propaganda of Muslims about Islam in that translation. Now, they translated to struggle or strive, and they teach our children today, Brother David, in America, they teach our children in our public schools by our tax money that jihad is internal struggle to do good. Jihad only can be meaning to war if it is defensive war. No, all the wars we study in the history of Muhammad, the many, 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 many battles, and I can name them, and I give you the date as we have in our book in the last chapter, chapter 40, where I give you the name of the battles, the date of the battle, how many were killed, the benefits they received from it, the spoil of war. These wars were all offensive war. Not one of them was defensive war. And the word jihad is to go out and kill. As a matter of fact, you read in the Reliance of the Traveler, jihad is warfare to establish the religion. What religion? Islam. So Muslims are following of the Quran and the followers of Muhammad. They believe that Muhammad said, I have been commanded to engage in war with people until they say there is no God except Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. That is the real reason why jihad was ordained for the Muslims, and it is war. I call it in my new book, which is coming up sometime this year, unholy war. Because
they told them to strike the infidel in the throat with a knife. Right, Usama? The infidel being, again, what? A non-believer in Islam.
Anyone who will not submit to Islam, anyone who will not say the Shahada, that there is no God except Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, is an infidel. That is the end of the story.
Amen. Come on in, somebody.
I wonder, why is it that our government allows the Muslim mosque training camps to continue proliferating all over the country? And don't you see that is the major danger that we just turn our head away from?
Brother, you are hitting a very important subject. And sadly, I repeat to you what Hosea 4:6 said. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Our government are a bunch of ignorant people who does not know what is written in the Quran. Trust me. Ask all the officials you're going to meet in your life. Have you ever read the Quran, sir or ma'am? And the answer will be no. And some of them, they will not even allow you to read the Quran for them because their conscience will going to be awakened. We have from the Holy Land Foundation trial a very important document, which is actually the blueprint, what Muslims will be doing in America from the mosque or the Islamic Center. I'll be quoting some of these in the two camps we're coming, one in your area in Ohio, where we're going to learn exactly what Muslims are planning to do in America. From these mosques, in simple words, these mosques are going to be used as a place to launch attack, to kill the American people, to destroy America from within. These are not my words, Brother David. This is exactly what Muslims said they will do in America in the near future from these Islamic centers.
Are there weapons stored in those mosques?
Well, I have no evidence of that, but here is the truth. Muslims in America are enjoying Amendment 2. And when some idiot like the governor of Virginia will take the guns away from the American people, Muslims will continue to have the weapons. And the day will come, an American will be a sitting duck, just like most countries in Europe, or all countries in Europe. In Europe, who have the guns? Criminals and Muslims. But the normal good citizen, the people who love their country, are not allowed to have guns. And that's exactly what the liberals desire to do in America. And by the way, in Sharia, in Islamic law, Muslims will tell you, non-Muslim infidels are not allowed to carry any weapons. That's exactly how Muslims took over 57 Muslim countries in the Middle East and the Muslim world. And that's exactly how they will take over Europe and America.
Rick, hey. What do you think, Usama, about Rick Warren and some of those guys and Chris Slom?
It's the same problem. Hosea 4:6, they are destroying themselves and the churches and America because they're ignorant. Rick Warren and 330 some other evangelical ministers signed a common word. What is a common word? You need to go to the Quran and read about the common word. That is to worship Allah alone, not to have any partner with him. Now, I doubt Rick Warren have a clue what Islam is. I doubt he's a very smart man. He have a big church of 30-some thousand members. But when it comes to Islam, he's just an ignorant like the rest of the American people. And he actually think if you love the Muslim people and allows them to have freedom in America, Baptists right now are celebrating Muslims in America, and they bragging about themselves, and they clap hands because, hey, we allow the Muslims to come to America, and we allow them to build mosques in America. This is my own church, Southern Baptist Church, are literally thinking, by loving the Muslims and allowing them to build mosques in America, they will give us liberty in the Middle East to lead the people to Christ and build churches in the Middle East. I'm sorry, you can give all America to the Muslims, and still, the Egyptian Christians will not allow to build a church, and we still persecute overseas. This is simply a naive mind and naive heart. That's not how we love the Muslim people.
Osama.
I'm sorry, just a second, Larry. One more question. I'm sorry, Larry. Can you be a? Are you allowed to be a Christian in Iran, in Iraq?
Well, in this Muslim country where there is majority Muslims and they are more of Sharia practitioners, a Christian is an infidel. If you want to know what Allah said about, just read the Quran. Kill them wherever you find them. That is the answer for you.
Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I want to thank Osama for letting me be his guest on his show a little over a year ago. And ever since then, Christy Johnson has been active in keeping track of what Sound the Alarm Brigade is doing, and she's a member. And amen. I want to invite Osama again to sign up for Sound the Alarm Brigade. Won't cost you a penny. And it'll add one more to our numbers. And
I'll and be honored, brother.
I'll put the link in the chat here. Do you think that our politicians in the United States will ever even acknowledge the problem that Sharia presents our country unless we, the people, force them to go to the table and look at the problem?
Well, brothers, the problem in America is not our politicians. The problem is the church in America.
Amen.
Have the Christians who voted for these politicians learned the truth about Islam and take their message to their politicians, it would change America completely. I send my translation of the Quran the first time we print it to every senator, to every congressman, to every governor, to the Supreme Justice. I mean, we send hundreds and hundreds of copies in just a couple of 3 weeks to everybody. And sadly, I don't think any of them have read it. Have they read the Quran? They'll be the most coward leader we ever had in this country. So I hope and I pray that the church will wake up, and people in the church will go and talk to their congressmen and their senators and their governor and say, sir, have you ever read the Quran? No, read it. That's the answer for it. The church need to wake up and wake up their leaders. But as long as the church is ignorant of Islam and we're in a coma, well, Muslims will continue to take over this country until we lose even our churches itself in America. I believe Muslims are here for two reasons. For us to love them, to lead them to Christ, or for God Almighty, not Allah, but God Almighty, to use the Muslims in America to discipline the church and to bring the God judgment on America.
Osama, can Christianity and Islam coexist equally in America?
Yes, if Muslims throw their Quran in the trash can, or if Christians throw their Bible in the trash can. But besides that, I'm sorry, they don't mix. Oil and water don't mix together.
Amen.
Hey, for those of you that are our staff members, to make it easy to go to Osama's website, if you just go to our affiliated groups, on our website, you will find the Straight Way of Grace Ministry there. And I believe it was the second affiliated group that joined up with staff. So it's real easy to get to him.
Let me switch gears on you real quick here, Osama. This just kind of came out of nowhere in my head. That's the way my head works sometimes. What's the position of Islam on abortion and homosexuality?
Well, in Islam, you will never see a Muslim lady in an abortion clinic. Trust me, for a simple reason. Quran chapter 6, verse 151, Allah said, do not kill the soul which Allah forbids. Allah forbids the killing of a Muslim soul. And then he said, except for a just cause. The just cause can be known very well by the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith when he said, the blood of the Muslim cannot be shed except in three cases. For murder, adultery, and apostation, leaving Islam. So if a Muslim lady kill a baby, She must be put to death. Can you imagine with me if the laws in America say you cannot kill your baby, but if you kill your baby, we will kill you on the same table where you killed your baby. So you can go ahead, have an abortion, and before the baby die, that is when we cut your head off. That's exactly what Muslim would do. So you will never see a Muslim lady in an abortion clinic. As for the gay and lesbian, we got this wonderful saying of Muhammad, where he said, if you see any of the people of any people who act like the people of Lot, kill the one who does it and the one to whom it is done. Which means if you see two guys or two girls having good time, kill them both. How Muslims kill the gay and lesbians, destroy them from the top of a high mountain or high buildings, and here they go to their death.
So Osama, then how come the left is so in bed with Islam? Right?
Not just this. In some of my speaking engagement, I saw these big groups of gay and lesbian come to protest me for the Muslims. It's very simple, Brother David, because the same Muslims who lie to the American people and tell them Islam is law, Islam is peace, this is just the act of some radicals, as Mr. Bush said so, they're using Bush as a reference now for Islam, as if Bush is a prophet of Allah too. They also tell the gay and the lesbians, it's a fact, Brother David, you can't be a good gay couple or a good lesbian couple and be Muslims. But Muslims kill the gay and lesbians. Yeah. They're radicals. They're the same Muslims who kill Christians, who kill Jews, who kill other Muslims. So these are radical Muslims. They're not good Muslims. But a good Muslim would love to have two friends, neighbors, gay or lesbians. It doesn't matter. We love gay and we love lesbian and we love Christians and we love Jews and we love everybody.
Religion and peace. Somebody else, come on in.
Hey, Osama. Jeff Klein, down here. We've had you at the church there with Pastor Bill Dunphy.
Yes, sir.
Here in New Beginnings. Remember I told you when you were there last time, we got that carry out with the Muslims, serving beer to people in the town, and in the house they're teaching them Islam. So I'm still working with some of these Islam in here, because I know you said the last time, you said, hey, let's go see them. So I'm still working on them. Now, I met another Muslim at Kenyon College here in the area. Mm-hmm. Is it often that they change their first name? This guy's name, Muslim name, is N-E-W-H, I think, New, but he's changed it to Noah, because everybody knows the name Noah, and all these Democrats love this guy. I've tried to sit down with him, and he won't. He just won't do it, but I'm still working on him.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing about names and Muslims and the changing of names. The true Muslims from the Middle East, when they came to America, they changed their names. So you ask him, what's your name? He will tell you, my name is Ed or Mo. So, hey, brother Ed or Mo, how you spell your name? M-O-H-M-M-E-D. Oh, you mean Muhammad. So the true Muslim, Coach Dave, come to America and they change their name to Ed or Mo, even though his name is Muhammad. And the American who convert to Islam, they are so proud. They name themselves Noah, Moses, Isa, Ali, whatever. Well, wait a minute. Why you pick up Muslim names? Because they are just so ignorant of what Islam is and who are these original names are. I mean, literally, I would love to meet with Noah just to explain to him. You change your name to Noah, believing that Noah in the Quran is a prophet. The story of Noah in the Quran is a dumb counterfeit to the true biblical Bible, Noah. Noah in the Quran have one son. Noah in the Bible have three sons, Ham, Shem, Japheth. Noah in the Quran's sons drowned, the one son drowned in the flood because he refused to go with his daddy into the ark and he ride on his horses. Noah's wife in the Quran was not a believer and she also drowned in the Quran. As a matter of fact, Allah told Noah when he was upset about losing his son and he drowned, he's not of you, he's not your son. So who is the son of Noah in the Quran? That is the son of adultery, as Noah's wife cheated on her husband Noah, slept with somebody else who got her pregnant. That's why she and her son drowned. Is this have any near or close to the Noah of the Bible? Of course, that's
Osama. Osama, we've got about 7 minutes to go here.
Wait a minute. I saw this show is 3 hours. What is wrong with you?
Well, the last two hours, you get to do it by yourself. So,
okay.
All right. So in the 7 minutes we have left, what do we do, Osama? What does an average guy like me do when the most people I come in contact with have no understanding of anything that you've just spoken about? The average Christians hearing in their church that we're to love the Muslims and bring them to Christ, which we're supposed to do, but we don't really and truly understand the Muslim threat.
I'm glad you asked this question, Brother Dave, because if we do not have the heart to truly love the Muslim people and lead them to Christ, then we are helping them to spend eternity in hell. Lots of liberal churches in America claim to love the Muslim people. And how they love the Muslim people? They give them gifts. They teach them English. They give them clothes and food and furniture and housing and everything. They're helping the Muslim, but not in Jesus' name. The Bible said, a glass of water in my name. Not in Coach Dave's name, not in Usama Dakar's name, not in any other's name, but in Jesus' name. So we need to love the Muslim people truly, the love of Christ, by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And I know average American do not know what Muslims believe. That's why we made these small, tiny two booklets. One of them, the red one, The Violence of Islam, is show our dear Muslim friends that their religion is not a loving, peaceful. Because as we said earlier, Coach Dave, many Muslims in America have no clue what Islam teaches. And when these people, as I have shared with them many times in my life, learn the truth about Islam, they leave Islam. There are two simple facts why Muslims leave Islam. Like right now in Iran, millions of Muslims are leaving Islam. Number one, because they study the Quran, they learn that it is not a holy book, it's a savage book. Number two, full of errors, by the way. Number two, when they learn about who Muhammad really was. Muhammad is a sinful man. So let us, first of all, we need to be educated about Islam. So we need to study. We need to read the Quran. We need to read books about Islam. Not just my four books or five books I have on my website, but other books. Because without knowledge, there is destruction. Number two, we need to love the Muslim people right by sharing these facts about their cult, about the Muhammad with them. They will leave Islam. But more important is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the Muslims. That's why we created this green booklet, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. It is written for just for Muslims. I know we love the Muslim people and we give them some tracts, Christian tracts, but I'm sorry. These Christian tracts does not work with the Muslims, because what do we tell them in these Christian tracts? Jesus is the Son of God. Uh-huh. I don't want to hear that as a Muslim. He died on the cross. Uh-huh. That's another lie. He rose from the dead. Well, he never died to rise from the dead. So everything we teach the Muslims from the normal papers and normal pamphlets we made, it does not lead the Muslim to Christ. It actually makes them close their eyes and close their ears. They don't want to hear it. Now, this green booklet, The Straight Way to Eternal Life, is made just for Muslims, written uniquely to lead Muslims to Christ. You need to read it yourself before you give it to the Muslims, because maybe as you give these to the Muslims, they will ask questions. And as you ask questions, you need to be ready to answer, because if you are not ready to answer this simple question, and trust me, Muslims are not going to ask deep theological questions. Normally, the question is very simple. And by sharing these facts of our faith with them, that will, and pray, that with prayer, their heart will be open and they will become a born-again Christian, as I have done it so many times in my life.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to, mean to walk on you. My experience is we've ministered outside of mosques before. And I find out, Usama, that when we talk to many of the Muslims, they know the Bible more than they know the Quran. In fact, when you get into discussion with them, they constantly ask you questions about the lies in the Bible. And most people aren't prepared to be able to answer it because they study that stuff, right?
All what Muslims do is they are reading the writings of a man by the name Ahmed Didat, who is not actually a true Muslim because he's Ahmadi. Ahmadi is a small cult from within the cult of Islam. And that man, and also they also look at some of the work of the high and low criticism, which is written by the German theologian, who are not Christian theologian, which was written 200 years ago. And all these lies we already expose, and we already give the answer for, and many, many Christian theologians have done that. These are mostly the imams of the mosque, but average Muslim have no clue who is Moses, who is Noah, who is Abraham, who is Jesus. I will encourage you, when you get to these questions, please email them to us, and we'll be very glad to answer each and every one of them in depth to send you the answers.
TheStraightWay.org, TheStraightWay.org. Folks, now remember, Usama is going to be part of our Occupy conference in Canton, Ohio on April 3, 4, and 5. And he's also going to be speaking at Rob Pugh's Wisconsin Christian News event, which I believe is March 10, 11, and 12. It's a check. It's on. It's 13, on
our, March 13 to 14, Brother Dave.
Thank you. March 13 to 14. I'm sorry, Rob. I dates, man. Just having issues with
that's
dates.
Okay.
And I would suggest, folks, if you can get Usama is. He's what a dynamic presentation it is. PowerPoints, all that stuff. When it is over, you are going to leave there equipped to be able to explain to others the dangers of Islam. And folks, we've got to dig this stuff out. We have got to know. We have to be always ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us. And if we do not understand our enemy and his techniques, then we're going to be powerless to be able to do that. Usama, we won't have you on again. I promise you. This has been
anytime.
And a lot more questions that I'm sure that people have that we didn't get a chance to get to today. Do me a favor, when we go off the air, stay right here with us because we got 50 people probably who want to continue to ask you some questions, folks. All right. Sure. Jesus is Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to my Father except through me.
Amen.
Allah is not God. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.